Amen. Are you there? Say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Okay, I'm not. Yeah. Everybody know where I'm going, right? It says, for unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. It's, you know, let me start right. If you save, you shouldn't be taking spiritual advice from T.I. Yeah, you know the little rapper y'all got in your car. Everybody like, T.I., you listen to that. You know, I watched somebody, I watched this guy basically berate the church in front of one of our well-known Christian artists. He couldn't defend the gospel because he probably ain't been in church in, I bet you, in the early days of this person's career, he used to speak in tongues. I bet you he hadn't been in nobody's church in 30 years. And he making gospel music. And the person was saying, hey, you know, I don't believe in, sit down, please. I don't believe in going to church. I know how to pray because my grandmama prayed. That don't make you know how to pray because your grandmama prayed. It don't even mean she knew how to pray because she was loud in the house. My mama knew how to pray. My auntie never mentioned him. Say, work out your own soul salvation. Just because your family saved. Just because your family saved, don't make you saved. And look at somebody and tell them this. And just because you know of Jesus, don't mean you know him. He talking about the church. He don't go to church. You know, because really the church is just a man getting up. He just talking. He just talking. He don't know no more than what I. He's just the man. That's what he said. He's just a man. But the real reason why a lot of these guys, as they start off in the Christian dome, using the church, because we kind of accept everybody. They say the Lord done received them, and who are we to question it? Well, we should trust it. We shouldn't trust it just right out the chute. We should look at the fruit first. It ain't about your suit. It ain't about your toot. It's about the fruit. I said, it ain't about the suit. It's not about the toot. It's about the fruit. If ain't no fruit there, I don't care what you say. You ain't gave me no reason to trust you. Amen. I like how this is going already, Sister Jasmine. I feel like Mr. Rogers. I'm already in somebody's neighborhood. A lot of people. A lot of people I'm in their neighborhood. He's just a man just like me. But the real reason of it is, if you make $5 million, then they tithe, it's a business. That's what they say. It's a business. This is Christian guy sitting right here. It's a business. It's a business. There you go right there, Judas. Judas didn't care about them giving nothing to the poor. He was robbing Jesus' ministry. He wanted that oil to be sold so he could steal off of it. A lot of these guys, when they're in the Christian world, especially these little singers, that's why, anyway, but especially like these music artists, they make $5 million a year, mother. They don't want to give $500,000 in tithe to the church. Amen. But Jesus asked for 10%, and if you make 5 million, that puts you in the top 3%. And the last time I checked, Brother Watkins, the last 3% actually paid 30%. In essence, they would give the government 30%, but won't give God 10%. See, something is wrong with you. I was about to say critter. Don't call them no critter. That's what I call them, though. They thieves. And they don't want to do what's right. But he said, and the government, that's why I was going with this guy. He just a man, just like me. The government is the authority God placed in the church. It's the people that he put. It's where the fivefold rest to govern his body. It's not a democracy. You don't get no vote up in here. Amen. You don't get no vote. I will entertain a God said, though, but I ain't entertaining nothing you say because I say I don't want to hear it. It's Christmas, y'all. He say the fivefold. Why? Because people are so disrespectful towards people in ministry now. Amen. Amen. People are disrespectful. If you let them disrespect, I ain't going to let them do me like that. Why would God give you fivefold gifts? He said he gave these gifts to equip the church, not T.I. Why would God give you gifts if you didn't need them? You shouldn't be taking spiritual advice from Tupac. Snoop Dogg, I had one of his grandmothers, not his grandmother, one of his aunties' CD. He financed the CD. That don't make him no closer to God. I don't know why I'm stuck in this. Snoop Dogg won an Emmy, a Stellar Award for a gospel CD. He ain't saved. He used all these spiritual gifts to profit off them again. And rather than giving it to people who live in right, they give it to him. And technically, he should have been I don't know why I'm stuck right here. He should have been disqualified. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Should you be talking to everybody about your problem before you talk to God? Tell somebody, say, Jesus, your counselor. Because we don't know how to move in silence. We don't know how to move in silence. That's why some of our little visions and dreams have got hijacked, because you tell them to people and then they infuse their counsel in there. And before you know it, you're doing something other than what God said, and it ain't going to work because you don't know how to move in silence. Tell somebody, say, learn to move in silence. Let people keep their opinion to themselves. I ain't ask you. Just show them the proof that you're hearing from God. He shall be called Mighty God. Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing. Have you ever seen God come through for you in the last inning where nothing seemed to be done and then God come on through for you? Why? Because he's a mighty God. When the devil say no, God can still say yes. When the devil shut a door, God can still open the door. When man disapprove you, God will still approve you. Why? Because he's a mighty God. What else he say? He say, and he's an everlasting father. If he's your everlasting father, that makes you an everlasting daughter. That's what we're going with this today. Because a lot of people, see, Christmas is the season of Christmas. Christmas is really about salvation. Anybody know it is about the gift? And we do give because it's, you know, Christmas. I'm not opposed to people giving during Christmas. I am opposed to them borrowing to give during Christmas. I am opposed to people using their bill money. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm opposed to that. Amen. The kid even got enough sense to say amen. Even sometimes kids have more sense than adults. Amen. Amen. Little bishop. I ain't opposing nobody giving gifts. I'm saying you shouldn't be borrowing, begging, or taking from your bill money. Man, please. I ain't going to mess with y'all. But go to Romans 8:32, I believe. The Prince of Peace. He the Prince of Peace. There should be no wars waging in you right now because you got the Prince of Peace living in you. Amen. Now, he says right here that he, that's capital God, that he spared not his own son. Does God want to be good to us? Yes. One of the things that you have to come to grips with is most of the questions that people have about salvation and being a Christian or Christian is, who is God? Who is he? And once we identify who he is, what does he do? What is he supposed to provide for us? Why should I serve him? And a lot of people, if you can't answer those questions, then he's not real to you. If you don't believe that Jesus is born of a virgin, if that's just a story to you, you are not born again. Because that means that you don't believe that God is real. He who comes to him, Hebrews 11:6, must believe that he is what? That he is real. And that if God can form the planets and the stars, whole planets, galaxies, beyond galaxies, that he can do anything in this dimension. Amen. But if you don't believe in those things, then you got to question if you're born again. I'm going to be dealing with salvation today. I'm not rushing. I got 47 minutes left. I'm using all of them. Amen. The gospel, Christmas, is so convoluted now. The average person don't even know what Christmas, the average kid definitely don't. Because their parents don't even crack the Bible open. Jesus ain't even mentioned in some people's house, and they say they're Christian. Never mentioned in front of kids. Welcome, Sister Sarah. Ain't never mentioned in that house. And this time of the year is so convoluted that people think it's about gifts rather than the gift. If you ain't received salvation, the gift of salvation, you ain't even started to live yet. This is why much of the world got 5 degrees on their wall. They ain't trying to prove that they smart. Obviously, they are smart because they got 5 degrees. 5 degrees proved to me that they started trying to find out what their life was about without ever receiving Christ, and your life is hidden in him. So it took them 5 times. To get 1 degree, they paid for an education 5 times. Why? Because they started off doing this and they wasn't born again. And they paid 5 times. And they only needed 1 piece of paper because their life is hidden in Christ. And they started trying to figure out their life. They started to try to maneuver their life without knowing him. 5 marriages. Because they started off picking what they thought was good for them. They did not know him. What about the people who got married and they've been married a long time? We did. Right? But we was both heathens. One of us wasn't heathen and the other one was saved. And then God had a plan for that somehow. But I'm saying that, put my scripture back up there. In Romans 8:32, if God wouldn't withhold Jesus from you, why would you would think he'll withhold any other good thing from you in this dimension? I shared with them when Jesus came, he bankrupted heaven. He didn't have 15 sons to pick for. Any, meeny, miny, mo, which one of y'all want to go? No, he only had one son. And he said, okay, you want to go, Jesus? Jesus said, yeah, I'll go. I'll go to do that. He didn't spare him. What am I saying to you? Whatever you need in your life, if you ain't got it, God want to give it. If it fits in his will, he'll do it for you. But we're gonna, I don't want to get distracted too much. I want to focus really in and hammer in on salvation this morning. Can you take a little bit? Go to Luke 2 for me real quick. When you look at Luke 2, verse number 11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is Lord. That's the title of my lesson today. He's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's Christ, the anointed one. He can remove any burdens. He can destroy every yoke. Some of you got it on your mind right now because I can look in your eyes. You need the anointing of God to loose your mind. You at a war in church. You dealing with a war internally. Some of it is because can't nobody tell you nothing. Some of you in here, you only listen to people who agree with the answer that you present to them. So you ain't open to no correct. That's why a lot of men don't come here, because they want to flash their little man badge. And the minute that they start flashing their little man badge, it don't fly right here, so they know they got to fly out there. If you flash your man badge on me, I'm going to let you be a man. If you want to submit to the anointing and what God, I ain't trying to tell nobody what to do, but I ain't going to compromise with you just because you say you're a man. And many of them not going to stay because they don't want to be told what to do. They whole life, they felt from the time they could whoop their daddy, they wasn't going to listen to no instructions. Amen. They wasn't going to listen to nobody. When they outgrew their daddy and their mama, they ain't listening to nobody. And that's how they've governed their life, their whole life. They not going to listen to nobody in the military, brother. Because they used to be in charge. And as long as somebody agree with the answer that you present to them, male or female, you will listen. Because you have become your own God and there's only one Savior. You don't realize that you're in adultery. Not adultery, adultery. You are your God. And your life look like it. Any other God apart from God is a dead God. You are dead God to yourself. You are dead God to yourself because you won't listen to nobody else. You ain't open to no correction or no direction. Why in the world am I in this right now? You ain't open to be led. That's why God won't lead you. You won't let him be Savior. See, we'll say he my Savior, but he ain't your Lord. If he was your Lord, you would obey him. He said, why you call me Lord, Lord, and you ain't going to do nothing I tell you to do? Why are you calling me Lord? Jesus is my Lord. No, he said, you don't listen to nothing I say. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. Say that three times. He's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. Say it again. He's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. Shout it one more time. He is Savior. So right out the chute, he come here. His birth, Jesus says, he introduces himself and say, I'm Savior. I'm Savior. He didn't come to be no example. What? He didn't come to be no example. He came to save the world. Because he's following God, he is the pinnacle of being an example when you follow God. But that ain't why he came. He came to save the world. He came to, when he left, he said, the comforter's going to come. Who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. And he is going to have the anointing of God. And then he is going to, when he present himself to you and you follow the leading of the Spirit, no man comes to the Father, lest the Spirit lead him. That's why you shouldn't let people drag a person to the altar. If they don't want to be saved, don't let them be saved. Cause sometimes God had to let the devil whoop the hell out of you until you come to him. Sometimes God had to leave you out there And let the devil just whoop you and whoop you and beat you and kick you until you say, man, I need a savior. I need somebody that's higher than I need somebody that's going to do this for me. I need somebody that's going to turn my life around. You ask your neighbor, say, do you need a turnaround? Wait for him to answer. Ask somebody else, do you need a turnaround? Somebody need to hear this today. A lot of us need to hear this today. He came to what? Save humanity from themselves. Do you know you is your biggest enemy is you? People's biggest enemy ain't the devil external, it's the devil within. They are their own enemy. And then they let the devil in, even though when they know that they know the destiny and the direction for their life, they won't do it because they say, I function in a spirit of fear. God ain't gave you no spirit of fear. Who's doing it? The enemy within you. You let fear in you, and now it's directing the course of your life. But today you're going to be free, and you're going to be free indeed. The enemy within you, you fight against everything God ever told you to do. And then why my life like this? Because you are your own worst enemy. And it's easier to blame the devil. Because that's accepted in the Christian world. The devil. And the devil say, I ain't even been to your house in 5 years, child. All that's been you, your mouth, your behavior, all that's been you. You broke because you won't deal with the fact that you have a ravenous, gluttony spirit. You want to spend everything on yourself. I ain't even took a dime from you. You spent it all up. You didn't lose a job because I took your job. You lost a job because you called in too much. Amen. You lost a job because you was too mouthy. Clap your hand, because some of y'all, I'm going to run them. I'm going to get you free or you're going to get gone. You ain't going to stay around here. You ain't going to stay around here. You're going to get free or you're going to get gone. I told you that. I've said that over the last 2 years. No person can come to this church and not submit to God and hang around, because the anointing on my life going to drive you out. You won't be able to stay. And how many times have we seen people come and go? And John said, he said, why are you having this pity party? He said, if they was really with you in Christ, they would have continued with you. But because they ain't with you no more, they was never with you. So let them go. But you ain't going to live raunchy around here. If you're going to be saved, you're going to live saved. You're going to act saved. You're going to talk saved. You're going to treat your wives right. You're going to submit to your husband. You're going to provide for your children. If you can't do that, you ain't going to stay around here. But you can come to Jesus, and he'll work it all out for you. Say, work it out 3 times. Work it out, work it out, work it out. I know it's a song, say, work it out 3 times. Work it out. But you ain't going to stay around here. No way God going to let you hang up. He ain't going to let you connect with me. Everything on my life, you should be able to see it. Well, why they didn't show it into my life? Because God won't let your spirit connect with mine. Why ain't it happening? Why don't I feel attracted to God? Because it's something about, why don't I feel attracted to pastor? Because it's something in your spirit that God ain't going to never let you connect with me. He ain't going to let me connect with you, rather. I don't feel like I'm hooked up. Exactly. Y'all okay? The Bible, he came to be Savior. He didn't come to give you toys. He came to save the world. Sin isn't simply about bad behavior. Uncontrollable sin, Sister Donna, is the signal that a person is separated from God. Ooh-wee. Do people still struggle with things when they get born again? Yeah. They still separated from him somehow. Meaning that you can be born again. You can really be on your way to heaven, but you're going to live like hell in the earth. That's a signal. That's a warning that you're separated from him somehow. Not from his love. His love never separates from you, but somehow you pulled away from him. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Meaning, same thing I said last week, when whatever you're saying about him, you force him to say about you. So you can't live any kind of way. But we've all sinned, right? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is what? Death. It's eternal separation from God. This is why Jesus came, because humanity was eternally separated from him. Now, why did he, you can go all the way back to the garden. Why did he kick Adam and Eve out the garden? Why? He didn't want them to eat no more of his heavenly fruit. No, that was fruit of eternal life in this garden. That if they ate from that tree after eating from the tree of good and evil, if they ate from that tree in an evil state, if they ate from that tree, there was no way he could save humanity. He kicks them out, and then he executes the recovery plan in the form of Jesus coming through 42 generations to a point to where he could die. He could be born to die. People say, oh, you know, Jesus died. He did die. He wasn't tripping about getting beaten, whipped. That's what he was created for. That's why he came. He was born to die. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. There's nothing that you could have done, none of us, to pay for what Adam them did in the garden. His blood was the payment. I say his blood was the payment. But he had to be born to get here. That's why the devil wants to make this so convoluted in this season that preachers are not preaching salvation to people. The truth of it is, I can't remember in a few months anybody ever getting saved in this church. Which means that we ain't, somehow we're missing it. We're not interceding for the lost as lost people come in and they show up every Sunday. That we're not interceding for, what's the point in having a church and you can't get nobody saved? What, to get them houses and cars? They can get their lazy butt up and go get a job and get all that stuff. What's the point preaching to people who already saved? Counseling people who already saved every single week and they ain't gonna obey God at all. Stop talking to people about God, what God gonna do, and they ain't gonna obey God. They already saved. Amen. They already saved. They ain't listening to God. They ain't listening to you. So why you keep talking to them? They don't need no counseling sister. Sometimes what do they need? They just need to be obedient. Some of our lives that we're flunking out in the realm of the spirit because we will not be obedient to nobody. But if you'll be obedient, guess what God will do? God will come in and do something incredible for you. But wages for sin is eternal separation. But anybody glad that God saved you? That he came to rescue us. He came in the infancy stage. He was born of a woman to rescue us. And how many know that he didn't have to do it? He comes to these shepherds and he had these shepherds to announce it to people. Because the shepherds are out in the garden. They're out in the field. They got all these lambs. All these lambs were sacrificial lambs. The temple was out there. They were out there because these lambs had a purpose. They was going to die. And it's like God opens up the heaven, have the angels come down and talk about Jesus coming to the earth. In essence, he was almost saying, I don't need no more artificial sacrifices no more. The eternal sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ has just arrived. It's going to take 33 years before he's ready to die, but he is here. Tell somebody, and he's here right now. If you are not born again, you should consider getting. Amen. If you're some kid, I don't care how smart you is, you're going to die like everybody else. And then what with your smart self? Because you think you're going to rely on your little education. Because some of your kids, they can't wait until they 18. They ain't never coming to church until the devil drag them. When he get them out there and then he skull drag them. And you just keep praying for him and let him drag them. What did he say? You let the devil drag them. God, don't let him kill them, but let them get saved out of it. Salvation is better than this, anything in this life. Salvation is better than education. Salvation is better than good looks. Salvation is better than money. Salvation is better than house. But some of you love money. You love it. You love making money. Money, 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 money. Money don't spend in the spirit. You can't pay the devil to get off you. Amen. Money don't spend in the spirit. You can't buy the devil to make him let you go. He hates you. Matter of fact, he was trying to kill you before you was ever born. Some of you, your mamas never just told you the story about how complicated the pregnancy really was. But God saw fit to let you survive because he was saving you in the womb. He spoke you into existence. See, and I'm glad about it. The sacrifice is here. He done paid for it out. So here's the question. Should we be talking about salvation at this time? I think so. Most of the world is lost. I stopped saying it. But I'm going to start saying it again. Because God had told me that many churches are filled with people who are lost. Yeah. Many preachers are lost. You know what they doing? They winking it off their gift. They didn't get that gift because they came to Jesus. They was born with it. But he said most of the church in its current condition is lost. How could that happen? Who got your baby? Where your baby at? Stand up, Chris. How old is the baby? He can't be born in. He must be born again. The baby can't be born in. The baby is good because the baby don't know no sin. But if you think the baby is in because the baby was born in and not born again, the wages of sin is still the same at 16 or 13 or 14 or 44 or 66. So the mama gets saved, the mama come to church, the teenage kids start coming. Not because they want to, they ain't got nowhere else to go. That don't bring the whole family in. Do you realize when you get to heaven, Samaji, your mama not going to collect all her kids up? Is it possible for you to be there and she not be there? Or for her to be there and you not be there? You're not going to collect your families up when you get to heaven. That's the way people live. Now imagine babies being born in and not born again. The daddy gets saved or the mama gets saved. None of the teenage kids get saved. But they come to church every Sunday. So we just automatically believe that everybody's good. And God is saying, no man comes to the Father unless they come through my son. No, even your child, no man comes to heaven. They don't know God. They got to be born again. They got to know him in the power of his resurrection. They got to know him for who he is.
And so salvation is the one thing that we don't talk about during this, because it ain't really important to people, because we try to counsel, we're trying to counsel people in sin. They in sin. Their marriage ain't work because they both living in sin somehow. And then we hear one side. But really it's both of them. Look at somebody and say, it take two to tango. And now you spending all this time talking to them about something. And they're not about to do it because they won't deal with the real issue. What's the real issue? Sin. What should we do? Come to Jesus. What's the real issue? Sin. What should we do? Come to Jesus. What's the real issue? What should we do? That's what he came for. That's what he was born. So salvation ain't about condemnation. It's about the love of God. That's why a lot of times people won't tell people, hey, you can potentially be sitting up in a church and half the church not be saved, because they say, he just trying to make us feel condemned. You can't feel condemned if you're saved. You feel condemned because you're not saved. You can't be condemned if you're saved. That's a whole nother spirit. Condemnation is of sin and death. But tell somebody, there is another spirit. That's the spirit of life that gives eternal life. And when you hear that word being preached, it don't condemn you. Because in your mind, you're sitting there saying, God, save them. I don't know who need to hear this beside me. I know I'm right, God, but save them. They're interceding for the people around them. They ain't saying, oh, no, he's trying to talk me out. If you say, can't nobody talk you out your salvation. Shout this three times. Say, God, save anybody in here that ain't saved. Say, God, save anybody in here that ain't saved. No matter what they last preacher told them, if they ain't saved, God, save them. John 3:16 says, for God did what? He so loved the world in an unrighteous, unclean, filthy, nasty condition. What does that say? God came for everybody. I say God came for everybody. The homosexual, he came for him. The lesbian, he came for him. The drunk, he came for him. Amen to this. The adulterer, he came for him. The idolatry, he came from them. The greedy, he came from them. The whoremonger, he came from them. Such were some of you. Watch this. But you have been washed. You've been purged. You've been clean. If he can save you, he can save anybody. So it ain't about no condemnation. Many people's lives, God was showing me, are in a mess. And they want God to fix it. Watch this. But they don't want to go through Jesus. I purpose not to waste my time. Did you hear me say I don't care about people? No, I'm not going to let them waste my time. All that is an indication that salvation is missing. And sin is evident. Turn to Jesus. I handle spiritual issues. I don't deal with a whole bunch of natural junk. I handle spiritual issues, so I'm not going to let people bog my life down with a whole bunch of natural issues, and their real problem is spiritual. Ask three people around you, do you know Jesus? And if you don't, do you want him? And pastors working themselves to the bone, and they won't preach salvation to nobody, brother. They won't tell people, you need to be born again. Why can't I see in the Spirit of God move in my life? See, that's why Nicodemus came to Jesus when you look in John 3. Nicodemus didn't come to Jesus at night because he just really was interested about Jesus. He come to Jesus at night because Jesus is doing miracles in his meeting. And Nicodemus would say, I'm a man of the Bible just like you. I know the word of God just like you. And I ain't never seen no blind eyes open. I ain't never seen nobody in no wheelchair get up. I ain't never seen no deaf ears open. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, calm down, son. He said, it's not of the flesh. Whatever's born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, if you want to see what God is doing in my life, tell somebody, you must be born again. You got to be born again. Hanging around people that are filled with the Spirit don't make you filled on the Spirit. No more than you standing in the car in the garage make you a car. You can stand in the garage all you want to. You still ain't no Tesla. You're a human. Hanging around with saved people don't make you saved. If you're not born again, shout, you must be born again. So, no man gonna see the Father unless they come through the Son. If a person want peace, what should they do? Come through the Son. If a person want forgiveness. See, a lot of people deal with condemnation from the other side because they won't let God forgive them because they ain't never asked for it. They thought because it's been 5 years that they good. They ain't never asked God to forgive them. This is one of the major reasons why relationships won't heal. Because he didn't divorce her. She didn't divorce him. And he think he good. He never asked God for forgiveness. Never repented towards God or his wife. And because she didn't leave him. And it's been 5 years. They think they good. So all this stuff is not being dealt with. I'm preaching this real good. It's never been dealt with. So they deal with condemnation because they know that they should ask the Father for forgiveness. They should ask the husband or the wife or the child should ask the parents for forgiveness. They know this. They won't do it. So what's happening is, please look this way. I promise you I'm preaching to everybody up in here. And what's happening is that filth is still running. So why is it still running? I've been doing all this. I've done this. I've been trying. I've been coming home. I've been doing this. I've been paying. I've been acting right. I ain't done it. Yeah, but you never asked forgiveness for that. This ain't the issue. This the issue. Say, deal with it. Say, your redemption is near. They never dealt with it. God want to free some people up. No way he got me going through all this. And I'm hot too. You should hear what the Lord's saying today. Everything you trying to find. All these busted relationships. My goodness. Go through 50 different relationships. And then broken parents teach their daughters and sons how to date. Don't marry the first thing you see. I ain't marrying the first thing I'm seeing. I'm looking for God to send me the only one. So they tell them, you know, sow your roots and all this garbage and getting all these demon spirits attached to their spirit. Because they broken. They would never get healed. All these relationships, all these 50 different jobs. Some of us are in a position in life, you need a career or a business. Because you're getting old. You need to figure life out at some point. And everything that you need, shout this, is found in Jesus. If you don't find it in Jesus, then you ain't found it. I say, if you ain't found it in Jesus, you didn't found it. You picked that on your own. And God knows better. Is that right? John, I don't want to go in. I ain't got no time. Let's go on down. What does it mean to believe in him? Come to church? Believers do come to church. What does it mean to believe in him? Number one, you get this thing called eternal life. You get the divine nature of God in you. So watch this. When you believe in him, you have to acknowledge first that you lost. The goodness of God can lead you to repentance. But in the beginning, where he saved you at, it don't look like it. Where we at in our personal life based off our choices. And then God sifts through all that mess. He finds you. I just reach down and scoop down and pull you out at the lowest point of our life. You ever felt low down, but everybody else thought you was way up? You had education, you had houses, you had looks, you had accolades, you had all this, but in your spirit, you felt low down. Why? Because what we need is found in him. Say it's found in Christ. So when you look at it from this angle, the solutions to all your problems, people came here this morning, you got problems. Your solution is found in Jesus. Say that my solution is found in Jesus. Now when you think about it like that, if it's found in Jesus, there must be some self-surrendering. I've never seen so many strong people in my life. I don't try to fix their stuff. When I see pride in a person, I'm not, because that lets me know they dealing with a different spirit and they already have the answer. I'm not dealing with it because they're going to cost you too much. Amen. They're going to cost churches. They're going to cost marriages. They're going to cost their family so much. Watch this, mother. And they will listen to you until you give them what they want. The same way that people do God. They makeshift like they listening to God until he give them what they want. And then they go right back to the same behavior. Only God can be God because God will just keep renewing your mercies every single day. What are you doing? Buying time, but there must be self-surrendering. Say that three times. Self-surrendering, self-surrendering. What have you gave up to know him? Huh? What have you gave up to know him? Who have you gave up? Nothing. See, this is how a person can be saved and their life don't look like it. Ooh-wee. This is how a person, Sister Harris, can literally be on their way to heaven. And it don't look like it because they're not surrendered to God. And the ironic thing about it is people can be preaching to other people. And then they become the castaway. Why? Because Paul said, I discipline, I buffet, I abuse my body to make it obey God. Least after I preach to other people, I got all my neighbors, all my family, all my friends saved. And then Paul said, now I'm the castaway. Because I ain't surrendered to God. There's no self-surrendering to God. If you don't surrender to God, there are going to be a lot of things that ain't going to reflect that you are a born-again woman or a born-again man. Now, here's the problem. If there's no self-surrendering to God, the only other option that's left, brother, this is how people can be saved and they still slaves to sin. What was Juneteenth about? Huh? What is Juneteenth really about? Huh? It is about freedom. But they wasn't free. They was free, but they wasn't free. You better hear what I'm saying. They was free, but they wasn't free. See, God has made some of you free, but you still a slave to sin. You're free, but you're not free. There's no bars. There's no chains. What does God look for? Everybody say self-surrenderance. And when you don't self-surrender, then you're still a slave to sin. Amen. You're still in the same chains. You're still, and you already been free. You accepted Christ, but your life don't look like it. I want to tell some people, God wants your life to look like what you really are. God has made you free. If you'll surrender unto God, if you'll turn to God, get the junk to Him that you cannot fix. If you come to God, God will free you and your life will look like freedom. Tell somebody, God say you free. Tell somebody else, say God wants you free. I was thinking about Christmas. What does it remind me of? It reminds me of, you know, everybody got their own answer, but to me, it reminds me that God has been faithful to me. Amen. Everything that God has promised me, not everything, because I feel like I got more time left in the earth, but everything that He's promised me, He's been doing in my life. Amen. Consistently. They ain't talking about no stinking money. I mean, that's a byproduct. I'm talking about everything He's promised me, He's literally been doing. Everything that He showed me from that kid's age, He been doing it. See, most people ain't got them kind of images and dreams. God didn't visit them. They took somebody else's stuff and tailored it to their life. No, I got my own stuff. Tell somebody, if you really saved, you should have a testimony. Because you should know that God care about you. Salvation saved us when we should have been murdered. Some of us, we were in positions, really, I mean, and even after some of us have been involved in stuff that maybe have brought death to other people, God still saw fit to save you. Amen to this. Soul stuff to people that poisoned them. I went to school with a young lady and her son sold her the drugs that she OD'd on. Am I telling the truth? And guess what? God will still save him. Because you say, how can you do that to your mama? You never directed the boy towards Christ. You never submitted towards Christ. But now he still got, he got time in the land of the living. God will still save that boy. So when we think about it from that angle, it reminds me that God cares about me. That's what Christmas reminds me of. Unfit, unaware of the things that I was doing, and then God was still steering my life around certain stuff, keeping me out of certain situations. I was thinking even about people, some of the people that I dated, and I thought I was just all in love with. A couple of them are dead. How would that have impacted my life? No, God gave me the wife for life. He gave me the right one. Why? Because He care about me. And plus, He didn't want to leave me with no whole bunch of babies. You know, I piled it all in their pampers. They'd be like, taking my kids. They'd be like, I don't like change the poop. It like make me want to throw up. My grandson threw up in the bed the other night, other week. And my wife was sleeping hard. I got up. Oh my God. It almost made me throw up. I don't like throw up either. Don't throw up in the church because it's gonna make me throw up. Don't get purged up in here, get purged out there. Because I promise you, once I see it, oh my God. But God cares, amen. He'll clean your throw up. Anybody, God clean your mess up, your throw up. I know I was a mess. People get self-righteous after they get saved. I know I don't deserve nothing. And God has been so good to me. I promise you, I'm not. God has been so good to me. There have been people that tried to get over on me in my life, and God said, let them only to prove like, only to prove to me that He wasn't going to let them get over on me. He didn't want me in a carnal fight with a person. And He dealt with them. So watch this. Christmas is the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. It's my time up. I got 2 minutes. It's God stepping into humanity's situation and providing a way out. Christmas allows us to step into a divine type of life in Christ, not just simply living forever. It's not just living forever. That's a part of it. It's God rescuing us from all the stuff that should have got you down here. He say, Jesus is my way out. Salvation is a life that frees us from the powers of sin and Satan. It's to step into a plan that removes us from earthly things only. Like some people feel like they're less than a one. I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's kind of that spirit has already been always been around. Make people feel like they less than a woman because they don't have children naturally. But Jesus' eternal plan provides us this ability to escape feeling less than because I don't have something earthly. People feel like they ain't nothing because they ain't got no husband or some wife. So I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. If they don't get this big old mansion, people work themselves to death for some big house and then die without Christ. What's the point? To have the whole world and then lose your soul, laboring for some garbage. I mean, I watch some of these military people, they define themselves. I told Deacon Sanders this. I said, I've only seen, and I've served in military communities for a long time, and I've been around some of the highest people you can see. But this is what I've noticed. This is what I told Brandon. I said, the outside of three people, one was a colonel, full-board colonel. One was a lieutenant colonel, and the other one, I think he went on to make CW5. But all the other ones, as long as there was some lieutenant, a captain, a staff sergeant, a sergeant, they kept serving God. They started hitting them senior ranks. They started separating from God. Only three of them out of all, one of them just was here. He's a full-blood colonel now. And when he was a little lieutenant, he was on fire for God. He started getting his little rank, started getting his little position. Because why? Because they're defining themselves by a career path. They don't know who they are. They think they a colonel. That's a rank. They think they a general. That's a rank. They think they a doctor. That's an identifying tag. Ask your neighbor, say, do you know who you are in Christ? That's an identifying tag. That ain't who you are. Do you know who you are in him? Most people don't. So he said to tell some people today, earthly things are not your only option. Whatever you're facing in life is not all there is. God said, tell somebody, say, look to Jesus. God is saying there are other options for you. He said to tell some people to make sure that, because he says some people, hey, you about to make a critical decision. And God says, make sure that you are making that decision with him. He said, before you compromise and settle for a less than. Who are we? Jesus is your option. He said that he has an option in Christ before you give up. Some of you, you're trying to get out of here because you don't want to live saved no more. It is a bad mistake. Amen. Jesus is your option. Everything good that's happened to you happened in God. Jesus is not your only option. He is the option. If we'll turn to him in this hour, God will work some things out for you. Say, Jesus, you're my option. My only option. I look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. Work it out for me, Lord. Work it out quickly for me, Lord. I need a move in my life. I can't wait another month, God. Say, work it out for me now. I can't wait another 6 months, God. Work it out for me now. I can't go another 3 years like this, God. Rescue me, save me, deliver me out of whatever. Shout, work it out, God. And he'll work it out if you want him to work it out. But you gotta yield to him. There are times in my life, truth be told, I prefer to be doing other things. Preachers get tired and weary like anybody else. Amen. And then God will create space for me just to rest and recover and to charge on again. Why am I saying that? God is trying to give some of you space to rest and recover so you can charge again. What do I mean charge? That you get the you got the strength and the fortitude to go into the enemy's camp and take back everything. Is that just a song? No. He told Abraham, I'll give you the gates of the enemy. Stuff that he done took from you. His gates was natural. Yours are spiritual, most of them. But say, God, refresh me now. Give me the strength to go into the enemy's camp, kick down the door, and take back everything that belongs to me. I ain't looking for nobody else's stuff. I ain't looking for nobody else's healing. I ain't trying to look for nobody else's recovery of their marriage. I'm going to get my own stuff. Follow me this way, people of God. Say, we're going to take back everything that the devil done stole from us. And it's going to begin with Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I say it's going to begin with Jesus. Everything that he done took from you, you can get it back. Stand to your feet. You could have gave a better praise than that. Everything, you can get it back. Everything. You shouldn't be sour in this season. When you serve a God that the Bible with the word of the singer say, he's sweet, I know. You shouldn't be sour serving a sweet God. He's sweet, I know. Sweeter than the honey in a honeycomb. He want to be good to you. Where does it start? It starts with Jesus. Where does it start? It starts with Jesus. Whatever you need is found in him. All these people out here, you got so many people, all they do is bash the church. I get so sick of people throwing stuff in my face that disagree with things, doctrinal things that they believe. You ain't gonna agree on everything in this earth. Don't be stupid. We live in an imperfect world. One thing you cannot get wrong is Jesus. You cannot get salvation wrong. There's some things that's non-negotiable. Other stuff ain't gonna send nobody to hell. One of the things I'm gonna teach this church, because I'm sick of these guys running around talking about ain't no women pastors. I'm gonna preach on it. Your sorry self won't do it. If God will use a donkey, he'll use a woman. I'm so sick of these people. They won't preach salvation, though. All they want to do is debate the gospel, debate the word of God over ignorant stuff. Not salvation, which you cannot get wrong. You cannot believe that there's another way to God. There's only one way. Come on, say there's only one way. One way to God. Say there's only one way. One way to God. You're not coming back as some animal. Ain't no reincarnation. You ain't gonna be some tree. Some flower. If you die in without Christ, you are gonna burn in eternity forever. One of my favorite preachers was Carlton Pearson. It broke my heart. It literally broke my heart Matter of fact, he was probably one of the from my personal opinion, one of the true apostles in this day. And he died in a state separated from God. Because he didn't believe that hell was real. You cannot dismantle hell and think that you're going to receive heaven. No, this is the option that God didn't even create it for people, but it does exist. Why would a good God put people in hell? He don't put people in hell. They choose to go there. He don't send nobody to hell. Separation from God, that's the only option. What am I saying to you? Examine where you really at today. Examine what have you gave up to get closer to God. You may be saved, but you may not be giving up nothing. What is it that you want from God? To be a piggy bank, a pocketbook? That's all you need from God? You just need somebody to be him to be a doctor? That's all you want from God? And you got so much on the balance. What am I doing? If you don't know, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you do not know Christ, I encourage you to give your life to Christ. If you are backslidden in the pews, and it's a few of y'all, you've been coming every week and you just as far as from God as the east is from the west. If you die, you're going to heaven, but you have been as far from God as the east is from the west. You have been in the pews backslidden. And every week you hear this pitch towards, you know, the altar is open, and then you trying to serve people and pray over people, and you're the one that needs to be laying on the altar. You're the one. I encourage you to get that fixed today. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to work it out. Jesus came to help us work it out. Jesus came for us to help us work it out. If you're a backslider, God say, I'm married to the backslider. I'm not going to turn my back on you. You might turn your back on me, but I'm never going to turn my back on you. I told you, I would never leave you. Give me more track. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why would I throw you away? What am I saying? You're not thrown away. But you're going to make changes in your personal commitment to God before God make changes for you. You done it your way. You've been out there really 3, 4, 5 years. You've done it your way for almost the last 3 to 5 years. That's really what's flashing in my head. Last 3 to 5 years. How that's worked out for you? It ain't worked out. The altar's open. You can come right now. Lift your hands if you want to be saved. Somebody come with you if you don't want to come by yourself. If you know you're not straight, get straight. You can just let it play on through. Just cut it up some. If you need to be reset in God, the altar is open. I just want to lay my hands on you. I ain't doing no knockdown, drag out, lay out prayer. Your thing is you don't really need that. You just need to be obedient. But if you want to be saved, I'm really coming for you today. And I'm going to take my time today. On salvation, if you some kid, you ain't gonna get no closer. You're not gonna ever get any closer to your purpose. Some of you almost grown. You 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. You're not gonna get no closer to your purpose than nothing because your life is hidden with God. And your parents can make all these plans for you. It ain't gonna turn into nothing if it ain't what God wants for you to happen in your life. You're at an age now where you need to be seeking God for your own direction. You want their covering, but you want God's direction. You can make up your mind. And if your mom and daddy don't come, you ain't got to wait on your mama and daddy to come. You can come on your own. Make up your own mind when it comes to salvation. Make up your own mind. If God is dealing with you, you make up your own mind. If you old enough, you 15, 16, 17 years old, you old enough to come to God on your own. Your mama and your daddy ain't going to collect you up when you get to heaven. They better just hope they made it their own self. Lift those holy hands all over this place. Lift them holy hands all over this place. If you're here for salvation, just take one step forward. If you're not, that's fine. But if you're up here for salvation, just take one step forward. If you're here for salvation, to get your life straight and just get back on the path of righteousness with God, maybe you separated, maybe you strayed. Who hasn't? You ain't got to look down on yourself because that doesn't happen. Who has that not happened to? That's happened to everybody, to include me. Not one time, more than one time. But Father God, I pray for every person. I'm asking all the leaders to come. If you clean, all the leaders come and you're going to spread out. I'm going to make one prayer request over all the people and then you're going to pray. If you ain't clean, stay away. But if you straight, come on up. If you straight and you clean, I don't want you standing back there and throw that sheet to somebody else. Olivia know how to give it to her. She's standing there. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for a total reset for your life. I'm going to pray for a total reset and a resurgence of the Holy Spirit to you. Let me show you how God does you. There's three of you up here. Like for a season in your life, you and God had a set time. Lift your hands. Don't look at me. You and God had a set time. And he would wake you up at times of the day, of the night rather. Yours was night. He would wake you up at almost the exact same time. Within a few seconds every night. And he would meet you. And somehow that's been shut off. But you didn't seek God to ask why he was shutting it off. You never saw him. You just took it for granted that you was in a different season. You weren't in no different season. God was shutting it off to make you pursue him, and you didn't do it. But this prayer today is going to rekindle your fire. This prayer is going to set you back on course again. And Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for a rekindling. I pray for a burning away of the chaff in their life, in their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. For the Spirit of God is over you. Right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for a total reset in their lives. I pray right now, God, for a resurgence of the Spirit. Right now in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, God, anything left undone, even as it was with Isaiah, God, take the hot coals from the fire and touch tongues right now in the name of Jesus. Burn up anything that's not like you, God. Set on fire their souls again like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you for a rekindling. I ask you for a refreshing. I ask you for a resetting. I ask you right now, God, to stir up the fire in their bellies right now in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, God, for the anointing of God to rest upon them again in a miraculous and an incredible way. I pray right now, God, even for deliverance. I pray right now, God, for a repurging, for a purging right now in the name of Jesus. A total cleansing right now in the name of Jesus of hearts, of souls, and mind. Satan, I plead the blood of Jesus over God's servant that you cannot have them. You cannot have their life. You cannot have their time. You cannot have the energy of their money. You cannot have their devotion in the mighty name of Jesus. I command you to take your hands off in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that you have started, I cancel it, enemy, right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that you've released over them from a negative connotation, I loose it from their minds right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, rest on. Lift your hands up high. Lift them up high. Lift them all the way up. I ask for fresh oil on these people, God. I ask that you pour a fresh anointing on their life, God. I pray right now, God, even as you cut on the spigot from heaven to pour out on them, I pray right now, God, that it'll not only cleanse them, it'll not only protect them, it'll keep the enemy and uncommon things from resting and attaching to them. May the anointing of God, may the oil of God cause slippery things and slimy things, the ticks, the rodents, the unnatural, unseen things, they will not be able to attach unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. They will not be able to attach to you or reattach to you in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you for it right now. I give you praise and glory and honor for it right now. I thank you for resetting hearts and minds. Let their attention and their mind, their devotion be unto you. Let their attention, their devotion, their time be unto you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I wish some people would pray in this place. God is trying to free some people right now in the name of Jesus. You are His. He is yours. Don't believe no other lie. Don't believe no other lie. You are His. He is yours. In the mighty name. Don't believe no other lie. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. In the name of Jesus. This will be a year where God will prove Himself to you mightily. This is a year where God is going to unlock some things in you that you had no idea was there. That's why the enemy done fought some of you. But the fight is over. I decree and declare that fight is over. I decree and declare that fight is over in you. I decree that fight is over in you. I decree that fight is over. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. I decree that fight is over in you. No more struggle. I call it dead now. 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 I call it, you ought to say thank you, Jesus, if you're up here. I call it dead now. In the name of Jesus. 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 It is so. In the name of Jesus. It is so. Come on, leaders, move out quick. Find somebody, move out quick. 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 That's so dear. If you in the those seats out there, if you got the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit. God is trying to do something. If you really got the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit right now. That's a big key God is twisting in some people, that's unlocking some things. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Hey, you can pray, Jasmine. Come here. Rama Soto Raba Ike Raba Oshiyama. Pray for her real quick. That's my daughter. I know too much. Rama Madakiato Sundaraba Ike Raba Oshiyane. Rebo Soto Rama Shete Ake. Nisha Daraba Undoraba Eva Oshaba Ande Ete. Romo Site Maba Ele Kaso. Roma Sidi Asundaraba Ede Asundo Roshiye. Nisha Taraba Ondorosi, the Rotaraban, Revolusiata, Revolusatarama in the Rava in the Yashende, Remasata Lava Unama Isheba, Bashete Moende, in the name of Jesus, Morekiate, Rebosuto, Shedeanda Rava E, Marosota Rava E, in the name of Jesus, He's twisting a key in you, He's unlocking some things in you. He's unlocking some things in you. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on. Push through, push through. Come on, push through. Come on, push through. Pray out your belly. Pray out your spirit. Pray out your spirit. Pray what you discern if you're praying too. Pray what you're discerning. Pray what you're discerning. Rema senda raba io sono stata raba io. Remo sotto raba baba io raba uso da raba io. Pray what you're discerning. Rama senda that walk the out. Pick up what you pick up. Rama, pray what you're discerning. Bashiate. Bashiate. Bashiato roko da raba io. Keep walking. Pray what you're picking up. I don't care if they praying over or not. Pray where you stop where you need to stop. Romo Sinderaba Oshi. Rendaba Isidoro Kua Bashede. Come on, lift up holy hands out there in the pews. Just intercede for people. Come on, God is working something. God is working something. We need everybody. We need unified prayer right now. That's some serious stuff happening right now. Romo Sinderaba Oshi. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ramo Sinderaba Oshi. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be careful right there. Be careful right there.
Reset it because it's going to go into something else.